This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this majlis, we will be going through the biography of that great scholar, that great imam, Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, walhamdulillah. Who is that? None other than Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we begin with his name. We will then discuss his family. We will talk about his travels and studies. We'll discuss some of his teachers, some of the titles that people accorded to him. We'll talk about some stories with regards to himself and his studies. We'll discuss, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the books that he's authored, the students who benefited from him, and the praises of scholars upon him, walhamdulillah. We will then move on, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to some of his statements, some of his character traits, and the ibadah, the personal worship of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. Then, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we will discuss the Inquisition. The Inquisition which occurred during his time, and wherein he stood firm, walhamdulillah, as some of the scholars said, it was Abu Bakr Yawm al-Ridda, and it was Imam Ahmad Yawm al-Fitna, or in some narrations, Yawm al-Mihna. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who stood firm when many had left the fold of al-Islam. And it was Imam Ahmad who stood firm when it came to this Inquisition, this fitna of what you had the Mu'tazila spreading the idea that this Quran, it is not the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather it is created, as we will discuss insha'Allah. We'll talk about the trials and tribulations he underwent during this period, the flogging, the lashing, the imprisonment, from one jail to another he went, Allah musta'an. You had three of the Abbasid rulers who tormented Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We had Ma'mun, then you had Al-Mu'tasim, and then you had Al-Wathiq. We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Then Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we will end off with his final illness and his death. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. With that, we will cover the biography of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, insha'Allah. We will also have another majlis wherein we will discuss the madhab, the Hanbali madhab, the various usul of the Hanbali madhab, the various tabaqat, the various categories of scholars within the Hanbali madhab, the timeline of the Hanbali madhab, the famous works of the Hanbali madhab, the most important books and works, insha'Allah. But for this majlis, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we talk about the imam of the madhab, insha'Allah. Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. His name, Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani al-Baghdadi. So his kunya was Abu Abdullah, father of Abdullah. And yes, he had a son by the name of Abdullah. This was not his first son, but rather was his second son. Maybe, as some scholars said, maybe Imam Ahmad had taken the kunya Abu Abdullah even before his sons were born. But then the counter argument, well, he had his first son whose name was Salih. Why didn't he name him Abdullah instead of naming the second son Abdullah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nonetheless, he is famous by his kunya Abu Abdullah, and Abdullah was not his first son. First son was Salih. His second son was Abdullah. And this Abdullah here, he narrates the most ahadith from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So he is the one who narrated the most amount of narrations from his father. Imam Ahmad's name was obviously Ahmad. His father's name was Muhammad. So Ahmad ibn Muhammad. But usually we say Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hanbal was his grandfather, not his father. But because Hanbal, the grandfather, was very, very famous, And so people would call Imam Ahmad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. They would skip the father. The father was Muhammad, and Muhammad, he had passed away when Imam Ahmad was maybe a kid, some say between the age of 1 and 3. Around this time here, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's father, Muhammad, had passed away. He was a soldier in the army, and thus Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a yatim. He was an orphan, and he was brought up by his mother, subhanAllah. Strong mother, mashaAllah. This mother here influenced Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and put him on the right track, walhamdulillah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also an orphan. And how many a scholar, the same with them, that they were orphans, and it were these strong mothers who had this good influence upon their children, walhamdulillah. So Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. Hanbal's grandfather was very, very famous. He was a governor in Sarakhs. This is the border between Iran and Turkmenistan today, the area between Iran and Turkmenistan. So the grandfather of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was a governor there for the Abbasids. And also, he was a governor there from the time of the Umayyads. He was an Umayyad governor, and then he went on to the side of the Abbasids. He was somebody who played a part in the rising of the Abbasids. He was a supporter of the Abbasids. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he never really remembered his father nor his grandfather. As we said, father passed away when he was either between 1 and 3 years of age. So he never really saw his father nor his grandfather. Ash-Shaybani. He is from the tribe of Banu Shaybani, and they are from the Quraysh. And his lineage meets with the lineage of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at Nizar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan. So Imam Ahmad ibn al-Hanbal, he is an Adnani Arab. He is an Adnani Arab, and his lineage meets with the lineage of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at Nizar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan al-Baghdadi. Al-Baghdadi meaning he was from Baghdad, mashaAllah. He was born there, and he also died there. He was buried there. He grew up in Baghdad. And remember, this is during the period of the Abbasid dynasty, the Abbasid Empire. This here was the seat of the caliphate. Baghdad, Madinatul Salam, as it's also called, Baghdad, this was the seat of the caliphate. And so basically the most important city at the time, walhamdulillah. When was he born? He was born on the 20th of Rabi al-Awwal in the year 164 after the Hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When did he pass away? On Friday, the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal. So he was born and he passed away in the month of Rabi al-Awwal. What year? 241 after Hijrah. 241 after Hijrah. That makes him that he had lived an age of 77 years. He would live for 77 years, walhamdulillah. And so these 77 years, if one had to look at it, he saw, or he was in the period of 8 Abbasid caliphs, subhanAllah, 8 Abbasid caliphs. Number 1, Al-Mahdi, then Al-Hadi, and then Al-Rashid, Harun al-Rashid, then Harun al-Rashid's son, Al-Amin, then Al-Ma'mun, and then Al-Mu'tasim, and then Al-Wathiq. During the period of these three, he suffered. Al-Ma'mun, Al-Mu'tasim, and Al-Wathiq, he suffered under them. And then we have Al-Mutawakkil. Al-Mutawakkil, mashaAllah, he was the one who put an end to the Inquisition. He stopped all of that fitna. He didn't give preference to the Mu'tazila. Rather, he gave preference to the Sunnah, walhamdulillah. As for Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's mother, her name was Safiya bint Maymuna bint Abdul Malik al-Shaybani. So his mother was also from the same tribe, Banu Shayban. As for his wives, his family, then he married twice. He married twice. The first wife was Abbasa bint al-Fadl. This was the mother of Salih, his first child, his first son Salih. So Salih's mother was Abbasa bint Fadl. And she passed away during the lifetime of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And subhanAllah, something to note, that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that we were married and, you know, like for 30 years, and we never really had an argument. Maybe something small, but there wasn't something, you know, worthy of mention. There was no like major argument that they had between them, subhanAllah. 30 years, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that, subhanAllah, Allahumma musta'an. Then he had also married another woman by the name of Rayhana, and from her he had the son Abdullah. So he married twice. And an interesting point to note, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal only married after the age of 40. 20s, he was not married. 30s, he was not married. He only married after reaching the age of 40, subhanAllah. Why? He was busy studying, busy engaged in the pursuits of learning, walhamdulillah. As for his children, then he had the son by the name of Salih. This Salih here is the one who passed on a lot of the fiqh opinions of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The Salih eventually became a judge. And then there was the son Abdullah, which we mentioned, narrates most of his ahadith. Then he had a concubine, slave woman, by the name of Husn. And from her, he had a son by the name of Al-Hasan, a son by the name of Muhammad, a son by the name of Sa'id, and he also had a daughter by the name of Zainab. So four children from not his wife, but rather this concubine by the name of Husn. There's also a story that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he read about the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he had a concubine by the name of Rayhana. And the story goes that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said to one of his wives, you know, I mean, I haven't practiced on this sunnah here. And so he purchased a slave woman and she was named Rayhana because he wanted to practice upon this as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done. Allahu a'lam. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi mentions the story in his Manaqib of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He's got two volumes, The Virtues of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, The Manaqib of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And he mentions the story there, but he says if it is authentic, then this is a second concubine that he had. But generally we know he had married twice and he had one concubine by the name of Husn, and she was the mother of Hassan, Muhammad, Sa'id and Zainab. Something important, subhanAllah. Ajib. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal dies at the age of 77. But his wife, or rather this Husn, the slave woman here, this concubine, she gave birth about 50 days before the death of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So that means what? That means the man at the age of 77 was still having children, subhanAllah. He left just 50 days before passing away, this concubine, she gives birth to his son by the name of Sa'id. Walhamdulillah. As for his description, then the biographers describe him as being somebody who was handsome, medium in height. He was not very fair in complexion. He had a dyed beard later on in his life. He would use henna on that beard. And especially they say from the age of 63, that's when he started to use the henna. This dye on the beard. As for his travels, subhanAllah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, as we said, born in Baghdad, and so Baghdad has scholars left, right, and center. He studied under them. Then he also traveled to Kufa, traveled to Basra 5 times, traveled to Mecca. He made Hajj 5 times in his life, and Ibn al-Jawzi says 3 times on foot. 3 times on foot he had made Hajj, visited Medina al-Munawwara, went to Yemen to study, went to Sham, went to northern Iraq. In fact, his son Abdullah reports that he went to Tarasus, which is about 950 kilometers away. He went there on foot. He also went to Yemen on foot. Pause there, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Today, seeking knowledge for us, super easy. We have ample opportunity over the internet. We have ample of halaqat around us, our cities. We have beautiful vehicles, air-conditioned vehicles. Walhamdulillah, the carpets in the masajid are extremely thick. Walhamdulillah, there's air conditioning, there's the heater. But subhanAllah, how few are the takers? How few are the takers? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal walks 950 kilometers. He goes to Yemen on foot, subhanAllah. Allah musta'an. Can you see, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, that the ikhlas these people had, number one. Number two, the effort that they put in. Number three, how Allah looked after their legacy that we are sitting today and we are talking about them, we are discussing them, we are saying, oh Allah, have mercy upon them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, he wanted to visit Nisapur and study there. He wanted to go to Ray and study there, but unfortunately he didn't have enough of finances to make it there. He started studying around the age of 16. I started studying hadith rather at the age of 16. This is around 179 AH. That's the year that Imam Malik ibn Anas had passed away in Medina al-Munawwara. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal starts studying hadith the year Imam Malik passed away. And in that same year, Hamad ibn Zayd, who was the Imam of Basra, he also passed away. So subhanallah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after the deen. Imam Malik passes away, the Imam of Medina. Imam Hamad ibn Zayd passes away, the Imam of Basra. They pass away. Who starts studying a hadith? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, walhamdulillah. Excellent. Some of his early teachers, Hushaym ibn Bashir, Abu Yusuf, the famous student of Imam Abu Hanifa, was one of the teachers of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Qadi Abu Yusuf, the judge Abu Yusuf, was a teacher of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And he would revere his teachers. He would say, "Umirna an natawada' liman nata'allam min." We have been commanded, we have been ordered to lower ourselves to those that we study from. We have been commanded to show tawadu and humility before the ones we learn from. Some of his other teachers, Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, the great Imam Ash-Shafi'i, was a very beloved teacher to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. In fact, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said to Imam Ash-Shafi'i's son Muhammad that your father is one of the six people I pray for just before dawn. Your father is one of the six people I pray for just before dawn. He would make dua before his salam in his salah. He would also make dua for Imam Ash-Shafi'i. He would make dua for Imam Ash-Shafi'i, for his father and his mother. That was his general practice before ending of his salah. He would make dua for Imam Ash-Shafi'i in the salah. And also here he says to Muhammad, the son of Imam Ash-Shafi'i, that I make dua and I pray for your father every morning. Other teachers, Yahya al-Qattan, Abdurrahman ibn al-Mahdi, Waqi' ibn Ulayya, Yazid ibn Harun, and many others. Some of the titles given to him, Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Why? Because he stood up for the Sunnah, walhamdulillah. Remember, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is an Imam in usul and furu'. He is an imam in usul, usul meaning aqidah, and also an imam in furu', which is fiqh. Jayid. Remember, during his period, this was the first time now that he is dealing with a political establishment that's not upon orthodoxy. During the Umayyad period, even though there might have been oppression during certain rulers, etc., etc., you had disasters, but you had the rulers upon orthodox Sunni Islam. Whereas now, during this Abbasid period here, you find that the rulers are influenced by the Mu'tazila who were Hanafi in fiqh, but they were Mu'tazili in doctrine, and so they are in a political establishment which is not upon orthodoxy. First time. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal stood firm in the face of this matter. One needs to note that the Hanbali school, it maintains the doctrine of its founder. The Hanbali madhab in fiqh, it maintains the doctrine in aqidah of the founder of the madhab, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Whereas the Hanafi school of jurisprudence eventually adopted the Maturidi doctrine, and the Shafi'i and the Maliki scholars generally adopted the Ash'ari school of doctrine. With regards to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, with Yahya ibn Ma'in. Yahya ibn Ma'in was this great hadith scholar and a peer of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Later on, during the Inquisition, the relationship will be strained between both of them. Why? Because Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal will stand firm and not give in. Whereas Yahya ibn Ma'in, due to being forced, he gives in. He gives in, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal would not speak to Yahya ibn Ma'in. Why? Because why did you give in? Why did you give in? I expected more from you. I held you to a higher standard. They were forced. They have an excuse before Allah. But Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal held them to a higher standard. So Yahya ibn Ma'in and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they go to Mecca and they were eventually headed to Sana'a in Yemen to study under Abdul Razak al-Sana'ani. And they find that Abdul Razak al-Sana'ani is there in Mecca. So Yahya says, famous story, that here is Abdul Razak, we will study under him, we don't need to go all the way to Yemen. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, no, we made the intention and we will go all the way to Yemen and we will study under him there. Why? Why? He's here. Subhanallah, number one, the virtue of traveling all the way there, the effort, you will be rewarded for that. Number two, here with Abdul Razak al-San'ani during Hajj, he's not going to give you proper time. He's not going to give you that dedicated time. You're not going to have that personal time with him. Whereas if you go all the way and he's seen the effort that you made, he's going to give you extra time and so you can benefit more, inshallah. He would say, or rather, it would be said to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ya Aba Abdullah, Anta qad balagd hadha al-mablagh. You've reached this level. Wa anta imam al-muslimin. And you are the imam of the muslimin. But I mean, you're still studying and you're going here and you're going there and all of this. What did he say? Ma'a al-mahbarati ila al-maqbarati. Ma'a al-mahbara, mahbara is the ink pot. Ila al-maqbara, to the graveyard. With the ink pot, to the graveyard, subhanallah. Ana atlubu al-ilm, I seek knowledge until I will be entered into the grave. That's what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal would say. I seek knowledge up to the time that I am entered into my grave. How many a times, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, there's this good student. He's studying at the Darul Uloom. He's studying at the Jami'a. He's studying at this institute. Qualifies, gets busy with da'wah, gets busy with this. And subhanAllah, where's the reading? Where's the seeking of knowledge? All of that is put on the back burner. I've qualified, I've got the shahada. The seeking of knowledge end when you have the shahada. Allah musta'an. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam of the dunya, says, I will continue seeking knowledge until I enter into my grave. Some of his halaqat would have like 5,000 students, they would say. 500 dedicated students, 4,500 are learning from him manners and adab. That's what they're there for. They want to learn from his adab and his manners, the way he speaks, the way he carries himself out, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he says that I was memorizing the Quran and then I got busy with hadith. And I asked Allah to make me and grant me the ability to memorize the noble Quran. And subhanallah, I was only eventually able to memorize the Quran in prison while I was in chains. Eventually later on, I completed my memorization of the Quran when I was in jail and in chains. And so he says, whenever you ask Allah for something, ask him for afiyah. Ask him for that without any suffering or pain. He asked to complete the Quran. Well, he got that. But subhanAllah, it came with all of the pain. It came with all of the suffering when he was in jail. So he says, I've learned a life lesson. When you ask Allah for something, ask him for that item, for that thing with afiyah. Salih, his son, says that my father wrote down over 1,000,000 ahadith. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's methodology was that he would only narrate from written sources. When he's teaching, etc., it must be from his written sources. He was not one of those who would just sit and then, you know, give off from his memory. No, because we can forget, we can make a mistake, etc. And he would narrate from his written sources. And he had a heba. Heba meaning that, you know, there was like this esteemness around him. You know, you wouldn't be in front of him joking, you know, and messing around. In his halaqat, etc., you wouldn't find all of that. His halaqat as Imam Abu Dawood. Abu Dawood, the famous scholar who's put together the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood, one of the famous 6 books of Ahadith. This Abu Dawood was a student of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Just like how Imam Muslim and Imam al-Bukhari, etc., were also students. And so Imam Abu Dawood says that his halaqat They were halaqat and they were majalis of the akhirah. You wouldn't find the discussions of the dunya happening in his gatherings. As for the books that he's authored, well, the most famous, the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the printed version is in 50 volumes. The printed version in 50 volumes, subhanAllah. This is the largest collection of hadith that we have. Then he also has Kitab al-Zuhd, Kitab al-Sunnah, Rad al-Zanadiqa wal-Jahmiyyah, Fada'il al-Sahaba, the virtues of the Sahaba, refutation of the Zanadiqa, the heretics and the Jahmiyyah, Kitab al-Fitan. Some of his students, Imam Abu Dawood, Imam Muslim, Imam al-Bukhari, his son Salih, his son Abdullah, Hanbal ibn Ishaq, his cousin, Al-Maruzi, student, Al-Kawsaj ibn Hani, Al-Athram, Abu Hatim, Al-Razi, Imam At-Tirmidhi. These are from amongst the students of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. As some would say, that if you find a person loving Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then know that he is upon the Sunnah. And if you find somebody disliking Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then know that this person is from Ahlul Bid'ah. Allah make us from amongst Ahl-Sunnah. As for the praises on Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then Imam al-Shafi'i said, and we all know the maqam of Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i said, I have left behind me in Baghdad nobody more scrupulous, nobody, you know, more awra, to have wara, that, you know, you stay away from doubtful matters, etc. Wala atqa, wala afqah, wala a'lam min Ahmad ibn Hanbal. I've not left behind anybody in Baghdad who is more knowledgeable, more afqah, has more fiqh, has more taqwa, etc. than Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam al-Shafi'i would say to him, you should tell me if you know of an authentic hadith, and so we can apply it, we can implement it. Imam al-Shafi'i said, and this is important, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is an imam in hadith, an imam in fiqh, an imam in fiqh. Important. Why? Because you find that some scholars say, no, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is a muhaddith. Whereas Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, they were fuqaha, they were jurists. But Imam Ahmad was not a jurist. Here Imam Shafi'i is saying that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a jurist and imam in fiqh. This is opposed to Imam At-Tabari, Ibn Abdul Barr, Imam Ghazali in his Al-Wajiz, Ibn Rushd, Imam At-Tahawi. They didn't really give recognition to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal as a faqih. Sometimes you would find that they would author a book in fiqh and they would mention the Hanafi opinion, the Maliki opinion, the Shafi'i opinion, and they go to the next mas'ala. They don't talk about the Hanbali opinion. They don't talk about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's opinion, etc. So, they disregarded that. But here Imam Shafi'i is saying, no, he was an imam in fiqh. He was an imam in lugha, in language, in the Quran, in faqr, in poverty. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal loved poverty. He was a poor imam. He was not a rich imam. He was not even in the middle class level. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a man of poverty, subhanAllah. He was a man of zuhd, stayed away from the dunya, wara', sunnah. He would not accept any gifts from the rulers. Even his children, when they accepted some gifts from the rulers, he would not eat the food from their houses. He would not eat the food from the houses of his children because they've accepted gifts from the rulers. Allahu musta'an. Ali al-Madini says, Abu Bakr yawm al-Ridda wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal yawm al-Mihna. Abu Bakr, the day of the apostates, when they had left Islam, Abu Bakr made sure that the yoke of Islam was protected and stood firm. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal yawm al-Mihna during the Inquisition. Al-Maymuni says, nobody did for Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. They said, what about Abu Bakr? How can you say nobody after the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam except Ahmad ibn Hanbal? What about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu? So he responded, he says, well, you see, not even Abu Bakr. Why? He says, because Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had allies, he had supporters, he had helpers, whereas Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal didn't have anyone. He never had supporters, etc. SubhanAllah. Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلْ يُحِبْ أَحْمَدْ إِبْنُ حَنْبَلْ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ صَاحِبْ سُنَّةِ If you find a person loving Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then know that this person is a person of the Sunnah. And his majalis were the majalis of the hereafter. And he says, I've not seen him talk about the dunya at all. SubhanAllah. Some statements and character traits and personal worship of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He would say, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَتَكَلَّمْ فِي مَسْأَلَةً لَيْسَ لَكَ فِيهَا إِمَامٌ Very important, brothers and sisters. Do not speak about a mas'ala, any matter of the deen, where you do not have any imam who preceded you in that matter. That you are saying something, do you have a precedent? Is there somebody before you, comes great scholar, who also said the same? If the answer is yes, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, be wary and be careful. He says that whoever says the Quran is created, this person is a kafir, this person is a disbeliever. With regards to iman, he says iman increases with good deeds and ta'ah, and iman decreases with sin. And as we said, he was tested by 3 caliphs? No, he was tested by 4 caliphs. The first one, Ma'mun, he was the one who started this whole mihna and this inquisition. He was the one who was close to the Mu'tazila, etc. He was somebody who, had a lot of the works of the Greeks, etc. translated into Arabic. So we had Ma'mun, inquisition started. Then Mu'tasim after him, extremely brutal. And then Wathiq after him, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was in hiding for a lot of the period of Wathiq. That was the trials that he underwent during their time. Whereas when Al-Mutawakkil came, he restored matters, put an end to the Inquisition, and now he's giving gifts to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He wants to give him position. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, I was tested with the previous 3 in times of difficulty, and I'm tested with this one here, in times of goodness. The khairat and the barakat, etc. And he would turn down all of that. With regards to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he says that from all of the Sahabi who has the most amount of authentic ahadith talking about his virtues is who? Is Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He has the most number. But in terms of quality, etc., we know Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, is on a higher level. But in terms of the sheer number of narrations about Ali, then they are more than with regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that, Ali is the one who gave honor and status to the position of the caliph by him becoming the caliph. He was not elevated by being the caliph, rather, he elevated the position of the khilafah by being the caliph. And a Shi'i, he heard this and he says, after I heard that, whatever hatred I had for Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has been removed from my heart. Walhamdulillah. He also says that whoever rejects a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not all, one hadith, this person rejects the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this person is on the brink of ruin. On the brink of ruin, subhanallah. He also says that if you have the chance to do something good, don't wait. Hasten towards it. He says that the less of the dunya you take with you, the lighter your reckoning is at the end. And subhanallah, as we said, he lived a life of poverty, this imam, subhanallah. They asked him, what is bravery? He said, renouncing what you crave, leaving what you crave, and embracing what you fear. Subhanallah. Once a student of hadith stayed in his house, and he kept some water for the student to wake up in the night and pray tahajjud. And in the morning, he finds the water is untouched. So he says to the student, subhanallah, رَجُلْ يَطْلُبُ الْعِلْمِ لَا يَكُونُ لَهُ وِرْدْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ A man who is seeking a hadith, seeking knowledge, he doesn't have a share of the night prayer. Something's wrong here. Abdul Hamid al-Maimuni says that I've not seen anyone who kept his clothes as clean as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And same with regards to his hair and his mustache, etc. He would love wearing white. And he would keep it very, very clean, subhanallah. You might be a Hanbali brother, but your thawb is very dirty. Where are you from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in this respect? He would make sure that his clothes were always very, very clean. And once he was passing a gathering and there was the sheikh sitting in the shade and teaching, and the students were sitting in the sun. Later on, he advised that sheikh that don't do this. Don't do this here. You don't sit in the shade and all the students sit in the sun. This is not right. This is not good. SubhanAllah, imagine. He advises this teacher to that level. Allahu musta'an. He would also, as we said, not accept gifts and help from people. When he was in Yemen, in Sana'a, with Abdul Razak al-Sana'ani, he ran out of money. And Abdul Razak had given him some money. And he says to him, I would accept, if I had to accept from anyone, I would accept from you. But I'm not accepting from anyone. When some would give to him, he would say to them, no, let me live with some self-respect. Let me live with some dignity, some self-respect. He would turn down the gifts from the rulers, etc. And as we said, he would not eat in the houses of his sons, nor eat the food from those houses, because his sons had taken gifts from Al-Mutawakkil. And once he saw his son Abdullah's feet, and the heels were smooth and no cracks in them. And so he says to his son, look at these feet. You know, why don't you walk barefoot and toughen up your feet? You know, this is you're getting a bit too accustomed to luxury. Allahu musta'an. And you would also not like to look at a Christian. So I don't like to look at a Christian. Why? Because I can't look at somebody who lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The claim that Allah has a son. Allahu musta'an. Once he was studying with Imam al-Shafi'i, and Imam al-Shafi'i knew he wants to go to Yemen. So Imam al-Shafi'i spoke to the ruler that, you know what, make Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal a qadi in Yemen. And so Imam Shafi'i says to him, you know what, I have an option here. There's a qadi post which is available and it would be good for you. And you know, this would be a good idea. And so how did he respond, subhanAllah? He says to his teacher, Imam al-Shafi'i, please don't mention this again, or I won't return to studying under you. They said that Imam al-Shafi'i was a bit embarrassed by this, subhanAllah. He says, I came to study under you. I didn't come for anything else. Don't mention this again, otherwise I'm not going to come back here. Abu Bakr al-Marudhi says, Ahmed loved the poor. And I never saw poor men treated as well as they were treated while sitting in his company. He would honor these people who were poor, subhanAllah. Someone had praised him, and so he responded, As'alullaha an yaj'alana khayran mimma yazunnun. I ask Allah that he makes us better than what the people think of us. Wa yaghfir lana ma la ya'lamun. And forgive us for what the people don't know about us. Subhanallah. He would say that the true faqih is the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his son Abdullah says it was his general practice to pray 300 rak'ahs of salah every day. Nafil salah. 300 rak'ahs a day, every day. And then eventually after he was lashed and flogged, etc., he would pray 150 and he would finish the Qur'an, make a khatam every 7 days. And he says, I make dua for 5 people at the end of my salah. Number one, my parents, father and mother. Number three, Imam al-Shafi'i. Number four, Abu Zur'a. And the narrator says, I've forgotten who the fifth person is. I've forgotten who the fifth person was. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal before salam. Imagine, always remembers this teacher, Imam al-Shafi'i, and makes dua for him, subhanAllah. When last did you make dua for your teacher, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah? He didn't like people writing down his fiqh opinions. Why? Because he felt that this will swerve people away from the Quran and the Sunnah. They become dependent upon these opinions. This one said that and this one said that. No, no, no. Rather, you go back to the sources, the Quran and the Sunnah. He also disliked hypothetical fiqh that many of the Ahlul Ra'i, people of the Hanafis, etc., that they dabbled in. He disliked that. And Abu Dawood says that I cannot count the number of times I heard Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal saying, I don't know. Many, many, many questions. He would say, I don't know. Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam, I don't know the answer to this. Allahu Musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, where are we from, you know, the character, the biography, the life of these great scholars, subhanAllah. The Inquisition, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the fitna. So during the period of the three Abbasid rulers, Ma'mun, Mu'tasim and Wathiq, this is when this Inquisition took place. He is now dealing with unorthodox beliefs of the rulers. Not only did they have these unorthodox beliefs, but rather they're pushing it down the throat of anybody else, everyone else. You are either in prison, you are beaten, you are killed if you do not accept their theology. Allahu musta'an. Bishr al-Marisi, he said that the Quran was created, and this was during the time of Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid tried to arrest him. This is now before our inquisition here. Harun al-Rashid tried to arrest him, but he went into hiding. And later on, during the time of Amin, the next ruler after Harun al-Rashid, there were no major issues. But during Ma'mun's time, this matter, it reared its ugly head once again. It gained prominence. And Ma'mun, he loved kalam, scholastic theology. He loved philosophical ideas, translated the Greek works into Arabic. He promoted this. He had the chief judge by the name of Ahmed ibn Abi Duad, who was the sheikh of the Mu'tazila. They were Hanafi in fiqh, but in doctrine they were Mu'tazili. And they pushed this idea. And they made it, you know, they made it law. They made it law that you were arrested, you were beaten, you were tortured, you were killed if you didn't accept. Allahu musta'an. And so many gave in, many scholars gave in, taqiyya, you know, they said whatever needed to be said, whatever the ruler wanted to hear them say, they said it. They have iman in their heart, they knew the haq in their heart. But to save their lives, you know, they said whatever was requested from them to say. But Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal stood firm. And there were a few others. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, Muhammad ibn Nuh, they were arrested and they were imprisoned. And eventually they were on the journey to Ma'mun. And Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal made dua that he does not have an audience with this ruler Ma'mun. And on the way to Ma'mun, they get the news that Ma'mun has passed away. They get the news that Ma'mun has passed away. Also, this Muhammad ibn Nuh, he also passed away on the way. He had stood firm, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And so Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was then sent back to Baghdad. So Ma'mun has passed away. Then Mu'tasim comes onto the scene. He wasn't the smartest of individuals, but he was brutal. And he kept Ahmed ibn Hanbal in jail for a few years. And then eventually in 289 brought him out, you know, for debates and public lashing. He would say to Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, just give me a word. Just say something, give me an excuse to let you go. I will remove the chains myself. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal would say to him, you show me, you give me something from the Quran and the Sunnah about what you claim. You give me something, I mean, you give me something in the Quran and the Sunnah which talks and mentions what you are talking about, that the Quran is created, etc. Then I will say so, no problem. But for as long as you can't, then I can't. He would say to them, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about this, mention this? Did the Sahaba know about this, etc.? And as we said, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal disliked all of this kalam and these type of ideas. He was flogged and lashed severely. He would pass out. He bled, subhanAllah. The one who was hitting him said, I hit him 80 times. And if I had to hit an elephant, it would knock down the elephant. Allahumma musta'an. When he was in jail, Al-Marwudi said, you know, don't kill yourself. Why are you doing this, ya Imam? You know, don't kill yourself. Just give in, you know, say whatever they want you to say. So he says to him, go outside. Go and see who's outside. Sees outside all these people waiting there, all thousands of people, etc. Many, many people waiting outside there with their books and their pens. So Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal says to him, how can I mislead them? They want to know what I say. If I say the wrong thing, they will write down, they will believe, they will accept. How can I mislead them? Allahumma musta'an. He would make dua for somebody by the name of Abul Haytham. Rahimallah Abul Haytham. So they asked him, who is this Abul Haytham? He says, Abul Haytham was somebody who I met in jail. And, you know, I was afraid, not to die, but I was afraid of this matter of being flogged and lashed, etc. So Abul Haytham says to me that, you know what, I've been lashed 18,000 times. I'm a bandit, I'm a thief, etc. I've been lashed 18,000 times for shaitan and this world. And so you can do it for Allah and al-Islam. You can do it for Islam and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually, after lashing and beating and jail and from one jail to another, eventually Al-Mu'tasim set free Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. You know, when they feared that, you know, he might die, there was also a lot of public pressure. And so eventually they set him free. Then during the period of Al-Wathiq, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal remained in hiding. He remained in hiding for years. For years, Allahu musta'an. Then we had Al-Mutawakkil, and here matters returned to the Sunnah. Walhamdulillah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was no longer, in hiding. Rather, he was out in the open, but here he underwent the test of Rakha with the gifts and all of this here. Allahu musta'an. He turned down the gifts, turned down the positions from Al-Mutawakkil. And as we said, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was disappointed in Yahya ibn Ma'in, his friend, disappointed in Abu Nasr al-Tammar, disappointed in Ali al-Madini and others who gave in. And he would not speak to them, he would not talk to them, he would not narrate from them, he would not pray over them. During his final illness, Yahya ibn Ma'in visited him and he didn't speak to Yahya ibn Ma'in. Why? Because he expected better from them. He held them to a higher standard, rahimahullahu ta'ala. His final illness and death. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal eventually fell ill, and in Baghdad he passes away, as we mentioned, passed away on the 10th Friday, the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal, the year 241. He had said that I have some hairs of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Put one on my one eye, put one on the other eye, and put one on my tongue. And it's reported that there were over a million who attended the janazah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. It took like about a week for the crowd to eventually disperse. So people would come to the grave, you know, days after he had passed away, and they would pray their janazah, salah. And as was said, that between we and yourselves, between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah, is the day we pass away. This Ahmed ibn Abi Duad, when he passed away, very few people prayed over him. Very few people prayed over him, subhanAllah. Whereas Ahmed ibn Hanbal, as is narrated, that maybe over a million people had come to pray Salatul Janazah over him, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this was one of the giants of Al-Islam. This is over 1,000 years ago, but today we sit and we still talk about him and we say, oh Allah, have mercy upon him. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. There are thousands and thousands and millions of people across the globe who attribute themselves to his theology and also to his jurisprudence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala light up his qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true followers of Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this was an overview of the biography of this great scholar, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. In our next majlis, insha'Allah, we will go through the madhab, the Hanbali madhab, and the stages of development of the Hanbali madhab, the books of the Hanbali madhab, the great scholars of the Hanbali madhab, insha'Allah, the usul of the Hanbali madhab, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.